what a week. Man, if you miss this week, you really miss something. You know, there's a lot going on this week. The rain, we've had how much rain? You know, I'm sick of mowing my grass. I don't know about you. My lawnmower's on its last leg, and I was hoping I'd never have to use it. But, you know, I had to get it back out. Because every time I have to get it out, I got to charge the battery or oil it or something. And I'm wanting it to dry up and burn up so I don't have to mow anymore. That's September and October. It's supposed to be dry. My mom's going, praise the Lord, my garden's got rain. I said, my yard's got water and grass. Your what? Your goat's got food. Well, some people can praise the Lord in every situation. You know? Amen. But, yeah, we've had quite a week, you know. Anybody sit up and watch the 8-hour funeral of Rita Franklin or however long that went? The queen of soul. Man, we've got the king of rock, the king of pop, the king of beers, and the queen of soul. But I know the king of kings, the Lord of lords. I was driving around yesterday and I seen the flag at half mast, and I thought, is that for Rita or John McCain? I'm not sure. You know, I mean, it's like somebody got the spotlight this week. But anyway, I'm here and Joe's not. And I don't know if this is a blessing or what. I'm trying to get my stuff together. I never do notes. Actually, it looks like scrambled eggs. Hopefully the Lord can put this mess together for me, because I've got just a mess here, and I'm nervous this morning. You know, I just told Sean out there, thought this seems like the first time I've ever been up here, or you think this is the first time I've ever preached. And so anyway, I'm a little nervous this morning. I don't know. Maybe the Lord's got something for us today. I believe so. Get to go back into prison Friday. I've been off for over a month. I got fired. Well, actually, I got deleted. My chaplain called me up and said, they can't find you on the computer or in the files. Somebody shredded everything and deleted you. And so, praise God, I got a whole month off. I mean, I didn't really realize how bad I needed it. So I haven't had to go to Boonville or Algoa. And I've been here for weeks. And it's really, really good. God's got a different way of blessing people or getting their attention. And sometimes, you know, even service of the Lord, even working for the Lord, we get burnt out. And we lose perspective of what we're trying to achieve. We lose perspective of why we're there. And you know, sometimes even though I volunteer, you know, I'm not an employee, it ends up sometimes just being a job. And sometimes it ends up being a guard. You know, and I'm like, I don't need that. And you kind of get, well, it's just another day I've got to go and minister, or another day I've got to go and supervise the men, or it's another day I do this. And it's so easy to just think it's just another day. And you go and sit with the men. I supervise 8 or 9 men in the office, and then the chapel is having services on Friday. The Islam and MSTA groups come in and they do service, and I have to supervise them, make sure they're in line. Sometimes it can be a very rough day. And you know, when you're wanting to minister to people, and then you have to be supervisor or guard at the same time. And you that probably work in a supervised position would really understand trying to be a Christian, but yet at the same time not allowing them to walk over the rules. Well, you know, they sometimes hold that against you, you know, and I've had them to call me names at the prison. You're no chaplain. You ain't got no love, you know, and you know, that's a hard thing whenever somebody yells out that at you, because you've got to follow rules and regulations of the prison system. And I have to follow rules and regulations. It's my job to follow rules and regulations, but some people don't want to follow them rules. And so then I'm the one who's standing in front of the door, and I get the insults, or that's my rights. You know, I hear, that's my rights. You can't take away my rights. And it's like, you have no rights right now, out. You know, it's just get out of here. You have no rights. Take it up with the warden. I don't know. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so it really hardens your heart sometimes, and you lose perspective of what you're doing. And I'm sure, thank you, Lord. I'm sure that each one of you that's tried to witness or share the Lord to somebody has probably run into this wall before. I remember as a young preacher going out with my pastor, and we'd go out on Tuesday nights and walk through the town, and I just kind of followed along, and he would hand out stuff and talk to people, and they'd be out in their yards, and it would be a great time, but I could sit back and watch him do it. And I remember going to one place and knocked on the door, and somebody answered the door, and they're like, "Not now, the baseball game's on." And boom, shut the door in your face. And, you know, we just kind of look at each other and smile and walk it off. But you know, at the job or something, you know, I've been called names on the job. Years ago when I was young, you know, somebody, they would call me Billy Graham or something, and I'm like, I ain't saying a word to you, and here you are. you know, I'm not going to talk to nobody. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to, you know, I'm here for a reason, and I'm just going to get my job done. But it don't seem never work that way. The Lord pulls you into a line of fire somehow. You always end up in the middle of a mess, and so you might as well just get out there and share the gospel, because it's going to be knocking on your door anyway, whether you like it or not. If you serve the Lord, Satan's going to reveal you, and God's going to reveal you to the world. And Satan's going to be opposing you no matter where you go. And so each one of you today, you know, you've got a calling and you've got a mission on your life. And it isn't always pleasant. It's easy to shut down. It's easy to, well, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody really wants to hear the gospel. And you know, you don't realize how many hurting and dying people there are. I'm just overwhelmed by the head games that we have to deal with today, the mentality, the suicide rate. I seen somewhere where a pastor this week had committed suicide. And it's, you know, a young guy with a nice family and stuff, and just couldn't deal with it no longer. And it's just like, how could this happen? You know, how could this happen? And I've known others, and it just people dealing with the same issues week after week, and maybe have a little relief, but then always combating the devil. It always seems to be coming back. And you know, are they no less saved than we are? You know, are they no less saved than me? But they're having issues, and I strive to find out what's causing these issues. And I was talking to one of our Christian leaders at the prison, an offender, and he was talking about another offender that was getting ready to be released. And he says, you don't know what kind of pressure he's going through. He says he's getting ready to go home. He's been here for several years. We get to thinking we can't even hold a job anymore. And these are young men. a lot younger than me. We don't know what holding a job is like anymore. And we've got to go back home. And are we even going to make it in society? Are we going to be able to stand against the enemy? And these are our chapel Christian leaders that help out with the church and do attendances and they do things for all the services and they work around there. And they are really on fire for God. They're the leaders. That's why they're leaders, because they're really trying. And they're dealing with these issues about going home and being back home. He says, we got too much time to think sometimes. And our minds, it starts working on us. And it starts working on us. And my chaplain there at prison, he says, you may be that one day you come in may help them endure for another week, because they're on the edge so much. They're always on the edge so much. And you may be that one day that you come in and minister to somebody. So you don't know what one day, what one word, what you have to say to somebody may help them endure another day, may help them endure until they come into the knowledge or the freedom into a spiritual realm of deliverance. Because knowledge don't always save us. Knowledge, knowing counseling, doesn't always save us. I was watching the Olympics. I was thinking about this morning, because I was having to dig pretty deep I was thinking, you know, I rely upon the Holy Spirit. You know, I have to dig deep within and rely upon the Spirit of the Lord to overcome these challenges, because I'm in challenges that I never thought I would be in or even thought I would be doing, but God is using me in places that I would never choose to be. And I was thinking about this morning and I thought about an Olympian athlete that I was watching in the winter, and she was downhill or slalom or whatever she was doing. And she was she was a great athlete, or she wouldn't be there anyway. But she had this overwhelming fear, or jitters, stage fright. And before a race, she'd get sick. So here they are waiting on her, and she's out back behind the building. And it's got a film clip of her before this. They was talking about this before this and thought she'd manage. And she had things wrote on her gloves and on this or that. I can do this. I've got the strength. I've got, you know. And she had her an athlete, a mentor that she would call. You know, now I've seen things now where you can call a mentor. You know. Okay. So you dial a psychic or something, a mentor, a psychologist, anywhere you're at. I can't get anywhere. You know, the stars are saying, I can't get anywhere now without my mentor. I'll have to just, let me, hold on a minute. I got to get a hold of my mentor before I can do something. But here she had her a mentor, and it was failing because she was out back being sick before she got to get on the course to do what she was going to do. And I was thinking about that this morning when I was praying about digging deep, you know, digging for the strength to get up and speak and to share, because, you know, this is a very sacred place for me right here. I don't know. I honor Joe very much, and I feel very honored that he would even allow me to ask me to come and fill in while he was gone. You know, that's quite an honor, because he's a great teacher and he's a great man of God. I've known him for a long time, and he doesn't do this. He does this. I mean, Joe is Joe. He, you know him. He's pastor is straight. And for him to ask me, it's quite an honor. Now, they didn't ask me to come and speak at Aretha Franklin's funeral. They didn't ask me to come and speak at John McCain's funeral. But yet, Pastor Joe asked me to stand in for him while he was gone. So he must think that I have something to offer you. Amen. I'm going to start here this morning in the Gospel of John. Let's see if I can find this here. I'm trying to use my electronics, but I don't get to use these in the prison, so that's... Chapter 3, verse 1. I thought I had a bookmark. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the sign that you are doing if God were not with him.' Jesus replied, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely they can not enter a second time into their mother's womb and be born.' Jesus answered, 'Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh giveth birth to flesh, but spirit giveth birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at the saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is when everyone born of the Spirit, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Sanhedrin. And so he comes to Jesus, like it says, and he's got the question. He slips around at night, and he doesn't apparently want to be seen. But he realizes that there's nobody that can do these works unless God be with them. And Jesus said that you had to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. And he's mentally trying to figure this out of being born again. And Jesus explained that the Spirit is invisible. The air we breathe is invisible unless there's dust flying in the air. Unless there's smoke going through the air. We see the effects of the leaves on the trees and the grass that's waving in the wind. But the Spirit of God flows like the wind upon the earth. And Jesus uses this illustration because I notice in our services sometimes how the presence of the Lord comes in and you can just, it's like the wind. It's like the wind that comes through. The disciples were lost. They was scattered. They was saved. They was on their way to heaven. They was been walking with Jesus, but Jesus had left them. They was a shepherd, a sheep without a shepherd. And they was scattered around and confused. They had no direction. And Jesus told them to tarry or wait in Jerusalem. Wait into Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Because he knew that this would be what would empower the church. This would be what empowered them. Because without this, they had no guidance. They had no assurance. They had no direction. And it's kind of like us today, that if we get baptized in the water, we receive a, let's say we receive a seed of faith. Jesus talks about the faith as being a seed, like a mustard seed, being so small. But they receive a seed of faith. And as we tarry for the Lord, I always feel like if we tarry, if we pray and we seek the Lord, is the presence of God. The presence of God comes and refills us and rejuvenates us. It comes and it strengthens us. It teaches us. But if we don't tarry in his presence, see, we belong to, a lot of times, a microwave world where we're so caught up in what we're doing and our work and stuff. It's hard to sit for a little bit in devotions. It's hard to sit a little bit. But if we don't get the empowerment, we wonder why we struggle sometimes so much. And I had this month of August off. And I was able to get up and just read my Bible and go for walks and all this stuff that I hadn't been, seemed like I've been doing because I was so busy. I didn't have time anymore to do a lot of this other stuff. I'd read for a little bit. I would get a little bit of this in. I'd pray a little bit. But I just didn't have that time that I needed to recharge. To recharge. And so we see these guys, they're waiting at Jerusalem for the empowering of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And when they have that empowering, it's the direction. It's the vision. All of a sudden, everything comes alive in their lives. And we become so scattered. We become so mentally unstable so many times. And we want to call our psychic mentor on the phone. You tell me how to fix this. You tell me how to do this. We always, it seems like we want somebody else to do this instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to fix this for us. And I end up in the same old prayer line that I'm after year, week after week, because I will not take the challenge to wait for the presence of God to come into my life and cleanse me and fill me with direction. What do you want from God? Do you want somebody else's gospel or do you want God's gospel? Do you want somebody else's deliverance or do you want God's deliverance? I don't want to know how you got delivered. I want to know how Jesus delivered me. We have to pick up our cross. We have to pick up our cross and follow the Lord. It is our cross to bear, to put it up on him, and he bears it for us. He wants to bear your cross. But I can't have you to carry my cross for me. Jesus has got to be the one to bear my cross, my pain, my afflictions. Nicodemus, I love the story about Nicodemus because later on, he's talking with the other Pharisees and they're going on about Jesus and he's murks off something to him, and they're like, "What are you, a believer now?" And I could see him kind of like, "I didn't really mean to say that, you know, because he was unstable. He wanted to believe, but yet all of his buddies didn't believe. All of the people he's around didn't believe. And so he's like so many Christians, so many sinners. They kind of want to believe, but yet they just, you know, it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to tear something out of my pride if I have to stand out in the crowd, if I have to be something different than, you know, what do I do whenever they start telling dirty jokes? What do I do whenever they start talking about somebody else? What do I do? I don't think I've got enough nerve to say, well, what about Jesus? You know, Nicodemus is like, well, what about, are you one of his? Are you his friend? And then at the end, we find Nicodemus help carrying Joseph, help carrying the anointment and stuff whenever they go to bury Jesus. This is the pattern of so many sinners' lives. A little at a time. And this is where we've got to be, is a little at a time sometimes, to come to that point to where we're willing to parade through the town with our confession. Our confession. No longer was he like, I didn't say nothing. But he was willing to parade with the things to anoint his body for his burial. Jesus goes to the woman at the well and he says, I have what you need. I have what you need. I have this water. I have this that you'll never, if you'll drink of me, you'll never thirst again. See, we've got to drink and drink and partake. The world is out here trying to constantly beat us down. It's trying to constantly kill our confession. It's constantly under attack. We are what we hang around. You know, I watch too much TV, pretty soon I'm kind of like a TV set. If you're around Facebook very long, you start to sound like Facebook. Fussbook. You know, you get around that stuff very long, you start sounding like what you are, what you've been hanging with. And Christ says, drink of me. He's telling this woman at the well, drink of me. I give you something that you will never thirst again. You will never have no wants, no desires. You will lack nothing if you will just thirst and drink of me. Just to say, oh, come and taste of the Lord. You know, come and, he is so good. You know, come and taste and drink of me. Come and be with me. And she got a sample of what it was like to be in the presence of the Lord. She got a sample of what it was. And the first evangelist was born that day, and she ran into town and she told everybody about Jesus. She preached the gospel, and she brought this woman that, I don't know, you know, it doesn't really paint, nobody paints really a good picture of this woman. I'm not going to judge her, but the Bible, you know, people preach about her, don't paint much of a good picture about her. But all I know is she went to town and she brought the town back to see Jesus. She brought the town back to see the Lord. She got a hold of something. And then they come, They started listening to Jesus, and it's like we believe, not because we just heard from her, but we tasted ourselves. What are we? Are we bitter water? Are we sweet water? When we go to the job, or when we're out in the community, when we go behind the prison walls, when we go see our parents or our neighbors, are we bitter water or are we sweet water? Are we going to join into their conversations, or are we going to talk about the Lord, the sweetness of the Lord? Come, come. I'm gonna end with this. Try to let you guys go early. Maybe. A scripture that's always baffled my mind, that I've always read, it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I've got three different translations, so at least maybe I'll get one of yours. The King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The NIV says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." The ASV says, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen." This scripture has always baffled me. I've always been baffled by this scripture, the interpretation. The interpretation of this scripture. I'm going to find a full chapter. NIV. The NIV in verse 2, it goes, "This is what the ancients were commended for, faith. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." I've read this over and over and over for years. I've preached on this, and I don't know that I've ever understood the reality of what's being said here. There is so much in this simple passage. But it is people who believe in God, that He created the earth out of nothing. Out of nothing. This is what the ancient people, this is what the elders, or this is what we believe, that God created the earth out of nothing. The world says it's a big bang and we evolved from something. They cannot accept. I always liked what the King James says, that faith is the substance. A substance, this phone, substance. Faith is believing of substance, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want this phone, but I have no phone. I have faith that I will have substance, this phone. So I have faith that God is going to provide me with the phone. God provides me with a phone through faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtain a good report. What good report have we got to show before people. What faith have we had? What faith have we had that come to pass? That was invisible, that was unobtainable in our lives. What faith that we've got? What have we believed for? A new job, a new car, a new phone, a wife, a husband. What faith, what have you believed in? When I read this, I think about what you believe in comes to pass, and by this the elders obtain a good report. When you see people getting what they're prayed for, don't you think they get a good report? We start saying, hey, God is doing something in their lives. God is moving in their lives. And we want to recognize them as elders. We recognize them as being close to God. I'm wanting some of my faith to become substance. I want to see Bethany walk. Amen? I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see people healed. I want to see, the most of all I want to see is people delivered from that demonic, depression that holds them captive. Because that seems like what's been working to the point of suicide. It's dragging them so deep. Good people that we would never think. People you would think that was rich and famous. What do we need? All I know is I need God. I can pray for you all I want to. I hope that there's anointing that we can pray for one another to break this yoke of bondage that people have. But yet, until we learn to speak the Word of God and learn until we get into the Word of God and read this and make it a part of our lives, we can never speak to that darkness that glooms over our mind. And when we start walking away from God and we start doing our own thing and we start abandoning our word, that comes back and entraps us and ensnares us. And hopefully it drives us back to God. When we walk out of the presence of God, you're an open target. When we walk out of the presence of God, we're open targets. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. If your mind's upon everything else, you are an open target. Satan loves to find somebody that's walked away from God and doing their own thing. I'm not saying God ain't with you and God ain't watching you, or God's always been there for me. I don't have to think about God with a club going to beat me over the head because I do something wrong. It's usually me walking away from God into the enemy's camp and letting him do what he wants with me. You know, we need to suck it up sometimes and figure out that, hey, we're the root of most all this problem. Ourselves is the root of the problems. That we have to keep our mind upon God, keep our mind upon His Word, and He will keep us in peace. I have to believe this. This is what the elders obtained. They believed in faith, a little seed. Jesus said a little seed, a little faith, and it grows. What is that little faith? Believing that Jesus exists. That's the number one thing, getting baptized. I believe. Abiding in Him, learning His Word, being filled with His Spirit, learning how to walk in His Spirit, learning how to command those things in our lives to get. It's the walk of faith. And that faith grows, and that faith grows until it becomes huge. You've been speaking to some mountains. Well, God may be chiseling away at them. We think everything's just going to happen right now. I'll speak to that mountain, and if it ain't cast in the sea, then it didn't happen. It may take a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of years. But if we continue in the Word, and we continue in the faith, we continue with Christ, then eventually we will start seeing things happen. I see offenders in prison that have no hope of getting out, and they start coming to church and start praying, and all of a sudden they're back there with a testimony. I've got early release. Some people you would never think, and they're praising the Lord. They're praising the Lord because they realize that they still got more charges against them. And they've been thrown out of court. And they're like, I'm getting to go home. I'm getting to go home. Praise the Lord. Won't you stand with me this morning? Does Sean want to? Yeah, there you are. Praise God. Man, stretch your legs out. I hope you all enjoy Labor Day tomorrow. It's for you laborers. Take the day off. I give you permission. Take tomorrow off. Grill a hamburger. Enjoy your families.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But if you need prayer this morning, I want to pray with you. I want to couple my faith with you. May just be that little thing that gets you right over the top. You know, that little thing, the word of faith that's spoken. You know, it's the word of faith. The Bible is full of faith. The word of faith that's in our lives that keeps us going another day. And sometime or another, we're going to look back and say, oh, I remember when I used to have a problem with that. I look back through my life and I start seeing things that, well, I forgot. I used to have problems with that. I used to have problems. I had fears about that, anxieties about that. Wow, what happened to that? I just don't even remember now when it left me. Amen. It's the Word of God. It's the faith that builds in our lives.